AM Amory and WBZH 910 AM W245CT Hayward.
Always streaming on the Civic
ABC
Media
News,
app.
I'm Tom Rivers. Five Americans detained in Iran on espionage charges have now arrived back in the United States after an exchange that involved unfreezing $6 billion.
Now, the Biden administration is adamant that this is not American money, right? This is Iranian oil revenue. It's been held in South Korea. But the U.S. is agreeing essentially to release that funds back to Iran. But here's the catch. It has to only be used for humanitarian purposes. And that is what has sparked a lot of the pushback here.
ABC's Mary Bruce says critics are afraid the money will go to Iran's nuclear program. The UN General Assembly opening its fall session. Both Presidents Biden and Ukrainian President Zelensky will address the body today. Rudy Giuliani's former attorney, Robert Costello, is suing him for $1.5 million in legal fees. Giuliani calls the bill excessive. Costello says his firm could no longer allow Giuliani to run up his bill. This is ABC News. Instacart is going public. Trading of the company's stock starts today on the NASDAQ, with the IPO price set at $30 a share. That values the grocery delivery company at about $10 billion. The cyber attack on Vegas Casino still fouling up operations. There are reports that MGM is losing around $8 million a day. Another talk show that was coming back despite the Writers Guild strike reversing course. Details from ABC's Jason Nathanson.
Bill Maher is joining Drew Barrymore, Jennifer Hudson, and The Talk in walking back their decisions to start making their talk shows again while their WGA writing staffs remain on strike. On social media, Maher writes that his decision to return to work was made when it seemed like there was no end in sight to the strike. But now that both sides have agreed to go back to the table, he'll delay the return of Real Time on HBO. The writers and Hollywood studios will start talks again on Wednesday. Jason Nathanson, ABC News, Hollywood.
I'm Tom Rivers, ABC News.
Red Delicious, Honey Crisp, Granny Smith. If you have a favorite apple, now is the time to pick it straight from the source. Did you know Wisconsin has more than 300 apple orchards? Travel Wisconsin recently naming its favorites, including the Oneida National Apple Orchard outside Green Bay, Ferguson's Orchards in Eau Claire, and Apple Holler south of Racine. Many provide tons of family fun in the fall, too. Tire swings, lawn bowling, hay rides, and more. Apple experts suggest if you want to pick yours fresh, do it before the end of October. For Civic Media, I'm Terry.
Up US Kids presents What to Expect When You're Expecting a Teenager. Learning the lingo.
Jelly. Jelly adjective. Jelly is a shorter, better way to say jealous. As in, Chloe, I am like so jelly of your unicorn phone case.
You don't have to speak teen to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same. Visit AdoptUSKids.org, brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUSKids, and the Ad Council.
When you're high, you feel different. You think different, you talk different, you draw different, you listen to music different, but you probably knew that. Problem is, you also drive different, and not in a good way. That's why driving high is illegal everywhere. So if you're high, just don't drive. Make a plan to get a sober ride. Because if you feel different, you drive different. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Don't let biased algorithms or degree screens or exclusive professional networks or stereotypes. Don't let anything keep you from discovering the half of the workforce who are stars. Workers skilled through alternative routes rather than a bachelor's degree. It's time to tear the paper ceiling and see the stars beyond it. Find out how you can make stars part of your talent strategy at tearthepaperceiling.org. Brought to you by Opportunity at Work and the Ad Council.
RPG came through the belly of the aircraft. We don't talk about the female combat wounded. These are our daughters and our sisters and our mothers. Wounded Warrior Project came into my life and taught me how to stand back up and get back in the fight. The truth is, I think we all have this strength inside of us, but until you're tested, you just don't know it's there.
See how Wounded Warrior Project empowers women veterans like Beth by visiting woundedwarriorproject.org/empowerwomenvets.
Radio keeps your community informed, entertained, and connected. It's what we're all about at the Civic Media Network of local radio stations.
We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin. This includes a commitment to news. Now we want to invite you to join Civic Media's exclusive Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News. It's a place to share your community's news and chat with others from across the state about it.
Join the Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News, today. It's the perfect companion to your local Civic Media radio station. The Maggie Dawn Show.
My immediate thought when I read about this and then watched it today was, please don't die, Senator McConnell. I couldn't disagree more strongly with Senator McConnell's policy positions, but he has been one of the only elected officials that's in a leadership position for the Republican Party that hasn't completely supplicated himself to Donald Trump.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Weeknights at 6 p.m.
on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Brock.
I didn't realize that Tucker Carlson's like hemorrhaging viewers. And I heard yesterday someone was like, oh yeah, like no one's actually watching it anymore. I was like, oh, yeah, that doesn't really surprise me. It's kind of like Threads.
it was a thing for about 5 minutes.
It was like a
week.
Everyone was excited and then they moved on.
Wow, it's like Scott Walker's presidential campaign. It's a big deal for about a week.
As Goes Wisconsin with host Kristen Bry. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
All across Wisconsin from Civic Media, this is Up North News Radio. Now, live from our Lake Wissota studio, here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Breitlow.
That's me. Well, hey there, Wisconsin. Good morning. It's Tuesday, September 19th, and it's another beautiful day to have you here up north from wherever you're listening across the Civic Media Radio Network. You're here in the state of Wisconsin Sense, either on the radio, by app, by social media. Happy to have you here where we unpack the news each morning. Here's what's on tap for this Tuesday. We have a new stadium plan, but it's going to need some teamwork. You see, after months of delays, Republicans have released their version of a plan to pay for much-needed renovations to American Family Field. But there are definitely lessons to be learned, or it seems relearned, before we can feel comfortable that the Brewers will actually stay in Wisconsin. We'll also visit with Christina Laurie. She has the Uplift, our weekly look at the uplifting stories found in our daily newsletter. In our second hour, Madison Mayor Satya Rhodes Conway will join us to talk about the jobs and improvements that are coming, not just to Madison, but to all of Wisconsin because of President Biden's emphasis on American infrastructure. And Hans Breitenmoser will review a major rural economic to-do list. Plus, under the title, Gimme a Double Shot, we're going to see if a responsible fella in Chippewa Falls can get a flu shot in one arm, a COVID booster in the other, and still lift his arms the next morning. So far, the answer appears to be yes, but, you know, the show is young. You can join us anytime here on the show at 844-967-2789. You can email us, radio at upnorthnewswi.com. You can also text us, by the way, at that same number, 844-967-2789. You can call or text us by using the Civic Media app. If you haven't downloaded it yet, you really should. You can listen to all the different stations across the Civic Media network. You can catch Badger football games. You can call in right through the app. You can text right through the app. So go check that out over at your particular app store. And if you're watching on one of the Facebook pages where we run this radio show as a live video feed, put a comment there. We might put that up on screen and address it as well. We'll tell you more about what's coming up from Up North News later today, but first let's travel down to Madison where Sam Davison is standing by. And we have to start with the question that left us hanging yesterday. Any word from Aaron after the bear hunt?
I have not heard from him, which is kind of concerning.
Hold on a minute. I thought the whole point of him of you joining us was that Aaron didn't have to do quite so much, but he was still going to like be doing some of the other shows. You didn't see him yesterday?
No.
Oh my.
But the shows that he's supposed to be doing are like at a different time than I'm here. They're going to be in the afternoon now. So I couldn't have seen him for that reason.
You just scoot right out. I mean, as soon as you're done, you hit that time clock and you're like See ya.
I mean, you don't, I haven't got people, much else to do here.
Well, I know other people that would just sit there all day and gossip and whatever if they could. I'm looking at you, Alba. You know, so yeah. So some people don't have a life outside the radio station. You know, he and Mathers would just, if they had a ping pong table in that room, we, you know,
they just go back and forth all day.
Their family members might never see them again. Yep, just keep the coffee pouring here. We do have our daily newsletter from Up North News. Sign up for it at upnorthnewswi.com. We talk about it being National Voter Registration Day today, and that seems like a good reason. There's going to be literally thousands of volunteers working for various nonprofit groups that want to encourage people to vote. And that's a bipartisan or a nonpartisan thing, however you want to look at it. Today really marks the most nonpartisan, the most non-political bit of civic engagement you can do today. And that's just make sure you're registered to vote. So you hear us mention it all the time close to elections, but I'm going to mention it again here. Go to myvote.wi.gov. That's myvote.wi.gov. You put in your name, you put in your birthday, and it tells you if you're registered to vote, if you are currently on the registration rolls. And it's worth noting that last month sometime, I don't have the number in front of me, but something like, I'm just going to say a whole lot of names were dropped from the voter rolls as part of routine maintenance that they do every so often. They send a postcard out to people who haven't voted for 4 years or more, to say, are you still there? Are you still at this address? Some people send the postcard back, say, yep, I just haven't voted. Others don't send it back and they get dropped from the rolls so that you avoid people who might have changed their name, people who might have moved. And so you should double check your status and you can register right there on the website and save yourself a little time and hassle the next time we have elections in 2024. Also in the newsletter today, 4 Wisconsin eateries have been selected by America's Best Restaurants to be featured on their popular YouTube channel. And we get a story from Selena Heller about how Green Bay is addressing pedestrian accidents with some new signs and some new lights. So for that and much more, you can head over to our newsletter, sign up for it at upnorthnewswi.com. Up North News being a separate entity from Civic Media. Again, very thankful to be here on Civic Media for these 2 hours every weekday morning from 6 to 8 or by podcast. And I want to say hello to folks as we continue spreading the word to people who say, I can't get up. You know, I'm not going to listen to a radio show between 6 and 8. I can't get up at 6 a.m. You don't have to. We love that you do. We want as many people listening as possible, but we turn this into a podcast for a reason, so that on demand, you could listen to what we're doing here 5 mornings a week, and we are so happy that some of you are listening to this, not on the down low, but on the download. We'll be back with more to unpack the news next, wherever you're listening across the state of Wisconsin on this Tuesday. When you're here, you're up north. We'll be right back.
Talking to your kids about the dangers of vaping can be hard. Getting them to listen to hot gossip is easy. So here's some drama you could share with your kid. Dude, did you hear about Cassie and Jake? No, but did you hear that vaping can cause irreversible lung damage and nicotine affects brain development? Nuh-uh. You don't need to gossip if you want to have an open conversation about vaping. So if you want to get tips on when and how to talk to your kids, visit talkaboutvaping.org. Brought to you by the American Lung Association and the Ad Council.
Hi, we're the Goo Goo Dolls. We're fortunate that our daughters have what they need to grow and learn. But that isn't the case for nearly 13 million kids in the U.S. that struggle with hunger.
Childhood hunger is a heartbreaking reality that Feeding America is working to change. Each year, the Feeding America network of food banks rescues billions of pounds of good food that would have gone to waste and provides it to families and children in need.
You can help kids in need in your community by visiting feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
The Todd Alba Show.
Two kinds of politicians, those who want to be and those who want to do. Tommy Thompson, John McCain, I would put Tony Evers in this category. They're guys who are running because there were things that they wanted to do.
The Todd Alba Show.
Now contrast that to Hillary Clinton, I would argue, or Donald Trump. Sure, there are things they want to do, but ultimately, they are like Scott Walker. They were people who want to be.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekday afternoons from 1 till 3 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Why are interscholastic sports called the last classroom of the day? Because they teach students important life lessons like teamwork, accountability, and perseverance. School sports are so much more than a game. They're about developing the whole person. That's why they're an essential part of every student's education.
Encourage your student to participate in the last classroom of the day. Interscholastic sports in Wisconsin. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
The Civic Media Network of radio stations across Wisconsin. We are your hometown radio, refreshed.
This would be the Chicks, of course. Did you know that until this day in 1999, out of all the albums that had ever topped the Billboard Albums chart, none of them had been a country group? Until the Chicks did it this day in 1999 when Fly debuted at number one. So we'll be playing several cuts off of Fly over the course of the morning here on Up North News Radio. Let's see, we've got 6 a.m. temperatures in from around the Civic Media Radio Network listening area. Folks listening to 93.5 The Tap up here in Chippewa Falls. It is 56 degrees right now here. Folks listening to Bull Falls Radio in Wausau, it's 52. Madison, 58. Waukesha, 57. La Crosse coming in at 60 degrees already. Wisconsin Rapids, 48. Green Bay, 45. And listeners in Amory, you're at 55 degrees right now. Time for sports at 6:16. And most of the Brewers story here is not going to be about the Brewers. It's going to be about St. Louis Cardinals pitcher Adam Wainwright, who is winding down his final season. And he's been stuck on 198 wins for nearly 3 months. But over the course of the last 7 days, he found 199. And last night, number 200, Adam Wainwright getting his 200th pitching win, 7 innings of 4-hit ball, shutting out the Brewers 1-0 last night. It was the longest outing this season for Wainwright, who is now 42 years old, and his record is 5-11 on the year, but he makes that 200 number, which, again, that's not, say, automatic Hall of Fame territory, but still an awfully nice milestone to get to. For the Brewers, that marked 2 straight losses. The magic number to clinch the National League Central Division remains at 7. The Brewers hold a 6-game lead over the Chicago Cubs with 12 games to play. The series with the Cardinals continues tonight, and you can catch that in the Fox Valley on Oshkosh Air Support and in the Richland Center area from WRCE News from the Center. All right, it's time to unpack the news here. And if you have any questions or comments on things you hear or would like to introduce a new topic, just reach out to us at 844-967-2789 by phone or use the Civic Media app to reach us as well. Just posted on UpNorthNewsWI.com is my editorial analysis of the Republican proposal to fund renovations and repairs at American Family Field. And there are parts of the plan that appear to be rather solid or something that most people can agree on. But there are also things in there that remind us that some politicians haven't learned lessons from the past and can't stop playing politics with certain things when an issue like this really deserves, forgive the sports pun, but deserves teamwork. We need Republicans controlling the legislature and Governor Tony Evers to come together at some point to help make a deal with the Milwaukee Brewers and extend their lease, which runs out in 2030. That's not that far away. So the Brewers actually, if this whole thing were to implode,
they would start looking around pretty soon for potential new locations. And we're in baseball's smallest market. All right, here in Wisconsin, we've got a bit of an underdog complex. You've got the Green Bay Packers, who are in the NFL's smallest market. And there are many communities larger than Milwaukee that would bend over backwards to attract the Milwaukee Brewers. Remember, the Brewers came here from Seattle. The Milwaukee Braves were only here for a few years in the 1950s and even won a World Series, but then they relocated. So relocation is part of the game, unless communities can figure out how to strike that balance of providing a welcoming fiscal environment while also not breaking the bank. And so folks listening to this program should understand that one of the things I like about this stadium debate is one of the things I liked about the smoking ban debate when I served in the state Senate, 15 years ago. It's a classic nonpartisan issue. On the smoking ban, it didn't matter if you were Democrat or Republican. Some were for it, some were against it. On the stadium debate, Democrat, Republican, doesn't matter. There are people who fall into like three different buckets. One would do almost whatever it takes to keep a major league sports franchise in their town. Others will hold fast that the Brewers shouldn't get a penny from state and local governments. And then there's people like me who are in the middle. So I want you to know my bias up front that yes, the Brewers, the team itself is worth something like $1.5 billion. And the owner, Mark Adonasio, is worth hundreds of millions of dollars. Yeah, I'm granting you all that. But like any other business or other basically cog in the economic engine of a community, it provides so much economic impact that would be lost if the multimillionaire owner decides to leave, that there is a role for government to play to say, well, we will chip something in as well. That's what happened to get the stadium built, first called Miller Park, now American Family Field. It's what happened for the Fiserv Forum, home of the Milwaukee Bucks. And it happens in smaller levels in communities around Wisconsin and around the country. Now, nobody has the perfect number. It's a matter of looking at all the different options and striking the best possible deal. So Republicans have come in with theirs. But let's start by going back and saying that Governor Evers had introduced a plan in February. And his was pretty simple. And it was paid for. And it was rejected out of hand by the Republicans who were running the legislature. The governor was proposing about $300 million that would come out of the state's record $7 billion budget surplus. When you put that kind of money up front, what is it that you're saving on? Interest costs. Anytime you can pay cash up front, that's a good thing. The Republican plan costs much more, but it also does have many more moving parts. And so the Republican plan is worth $614 million and puts up a lot of state funding next year and then about $20 million each year through 2045. But you also would apply the team's nearly $20 million in state and local sales taxes that it generates per year. You would apply the income taxes generated by Major League Baseball players and staff, which is another $12 million a year or so. $100 million from the Brewers. Now here's where it gets a little complicated and a little like somebody didn't learn the lessons of the past. The Republican plan also calls on the city of Milwaukee and Milwaukee County to put up $202 million and $135 million respectively, over the term of the extended lease. So here are state Republicans demanding that Milwaukee City and County put up money, even though this is the same legislature that has spent a dozen years denigrating, threatening, micromanaging the city into fiscal crises after year after year after year of budgets that try to impose austerity to bring both the city and county pretty much to their financial knees. And now the state is saying, yeah, and we want you to fork up, $200 million toward the stadium. I'm not saying there's not a role for Milwaukee City and County, but listen to what's missing. You have to go back to the original deal to build Miller Park. That 1995 legislative deal funded the original construction in large part with a regional sales tax, 0.1%. A tenth of a penny. But it was imposed not only in Milwaukee County, but also Waukesha, Ozaukee, Washington, and Racine counties. It was a classic case of regional cooperation for the economic good of the whole region. Frankly, the only bump in the road during that 1995 deal that came before then-State Senator George Petak of Racine switched his vote and decided to support the stadium, and that's why it got built. The only real bump in the road was when then-Governor Tommy Thompson got caught on a hot mic saying, stick it to him, when talking about, you know, the bulk of the tax burden falling on Milwaukee. Well, that is still the mantra of Republicans to this day, is to stick it to Milwaukee whenever they can. And so they have proposed a deal where the suburban counties and the suburban residents who will surely use American Family Field for many Brewers games over the years are not asked to pay anything more than people up north in Lincoln County or Marathon County who maybe get to one game a year, if at all. It's just completely blown up the model of regional cooperation. And of course, you know, people representing the city and Democrats in the assembly point that out, that glaring omission, and, you know, say we could do better. The other way we could do better, by the way, is if we'd never allowed the original 10th of a penny sales tax to expire. It was set up to expire when the original construction costs were paid for, and that happened in the year 2020. And I was one of a very small number of voices out there saying, I don't think that's a good idea. I know why you would, because it's perfect talk radio fodder for somebody to say, yeah, these politicians, they set up these so-called temporary taxes and then they never go away. I get that. I get the talking point. But did anybody think the stadium was going to stop aging after 2020? There was no mechanism in place. So letting it go away, letting that sales tax lapse, was just another kicking the can. It's a can that yesterday's politicians kicked down the road to us, and now we've got to figure out how to pay for it. Now, Governor Evers had figured out a way to pay for it with the state budget surplus, but the Republicans are so hell-bent on sending much of that surplus to the wealthiest in Wisconsin through tax breaks that they're willing to write up a new package that makes taxpayers eat a whole lot of extra interest costs. There's also the irony that these same Republicans who have been fighting so hard to protect millionaires from paying their fair share of taxes are happy to fork over the tax revenue raised by millionaire ballplayers. So apparently, you know, some millionaires are good, but other millionaires are not. We can't afford, honestly, not just from a regional standpoint, but from a state standpoint, to lose the Brewers and the hundreds of millions of dollars of economic benefit that they bring to the economy. Not to mention the prestige that comes from having major league sports franchises. There's a phrase that gets used in other markets about losing their sports teams and how when that happens, you basically just become a cold Omaha. And that's not what we want in Wisconsin. It's not that the economy would crash. Life would go on, of course. But there's so much more. And then there would be people wanting to spend extra money later to try to attract a new team down the road. How about if we just engage in some teamwork and keep the one that we've got right now? Coming up next, we'll talk to Christina Laurie. She puts together a daily newsletter. She visits with us weekly about some of the uplifting stories that you can find in a newsletter that you can sign up for at upnorthnewswi.com. We'll be right back.
This this summer, Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK has a new starting lineup. At 10, As Goes Wisconsin. Then at noon, Civic Media Network News. On Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK.
ABC News, I'm Tom Rivers. Five Americans detained in Iran on espionage charges have now arrived back in the United States after an exchange that involved unfreezing $6 billion.
Now, the Biden administration is adamant that this is not American money, right? This is Iranian oil revenue. It's been held in South Korea. But the U.S. is agreeing essentially to release that funds back to Iran. But here's the catch. It has to only be used for humanitarian purposes. And that is what has sparked a lot of the pushback here.
ABC's Mary Bruce says critics are afraid the money will go to Iran's nuclear program. The UN General Assembly opening its fall session, both Presidents Biden and Ukrainian President Zelensky will address the body today. Rudy Giuliani's former attorney, Robert Costello, is suing him for $1.5 million in legal fees. Giuliani calls the bill excessive. Costello says his firm could no longer allow Giuliani to run up his bill. This is ABC News.
If you love them enough to listen to them practice the same song on tuba,
please be done.
Over and over and over and over and over. Then surely you'll check nhtsa.gov/the right seat to make sure they're correctly buckled in the back seat.
Sounds good, honey.
Check today at nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
More than 80 million Americans depend on AM radio each month for news, weather, and emergency information. A new bill in Congress would make sure AM radio remains in cars. Because when cell and internet services are down, this free service could be your only lifeline. Text AM to 52886 and tell Congress to support the AM Radio for Every Vehicle Act.
Message and data rates may apply. You may receive up to 4 messages a month, and you may text STOP to STOP.
This message furnished by the National Association of Broadcasters.
If I could be you.
And you could be me. For just 1 hour.
If you could find a way.
To get inside.
Each other's mind.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
We've all felt left out. And for some, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Sometimes I just cannot believe all the storms we've gone through here.
I can only hope that we'll be able to leave this house to you one day, baby. You're our legacy.
Planning for these disasters will make sure we're safe and is the best way to protect that legacy.
Protect your legacy. Visit ready.gov/plan for the tools and tips you need to start your emergency preparedness plan today. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Red Delicious, Honeycrisp, Granny Smith. If you have a favorite apple, now is the time to pick it straight from the source. Did you know Wisconsin has more than 300 apple orchards? Travel Wisconsin recently naming its favorites, including the Oneida National Apple Orchard outside Green Bay, Ferguson's Orchards in Eau Claire, and Apple Holler south of Racine. Many provide tons of family fun in the fall, too. Tire swings, lawn bowling, hay rides, and more. Apple experts suggest if you want to pick yours fresh, do it before the end of October. For Civic Media, I'm Terry.
UPS Kids presents What to Expect When You're Expecting a Teenager. Learning the lingo.
Jelly. Jelly adjective. Jelly is a shorter, better way to say jealous. As in, Chloe, I am like so jelly of your unicorn phone case.
You don't have to speak teen to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same. Visit AdoptUSKids.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUSKids, and the Ad Council.
And welcome back. This is The Uplift, a chance to look at some of the lighter side of life in Wisconsin. It can't all be news and politics and doom and gloom. And thankfully, we have Christina Laurie to remind us of all there is to do that is either fun or delicious or encouraging. And we appreciate that. Christina, how are you?
Or how about all of the above, Pat?
All of the above works out fine. You know, the ways that we try to keep ourselves happy and healthy. And we're starting healthy, kind of, with your number one point here says, why cheese is really a health food. Explain.
Well, our state's number one product often gets a bad rap, but cheese actually has a lot of hidden health benefits that aren't so hidden. It's not like we were trying to make something out of nothing. Actually, I talked to three registered dietitians and asked them to make the case for cheese as a health food. And this is what they told me. First, cheese is a great source of calcium. So according to the USDA, American men need 30%. According to the FDA, 30% of men and 60% of women don't get enough calcium in a day. So eating cheese is a great way to supplement and enhance that through food. There are some things that you can take, you know, daily vitamins for, and that works, but your best source is to do it through food. So if you need an extra reason to indulge, just cite the calcium need.
There you go.
Also, cheese can lower your risk of heart disease, which is the number one killer of men in Wisconsin. So it's a great thing to think about. And finally, cheese can help your muscles recover more quickly. So a lot of athletes rely on protein supplements as well as cheese. How it works is that the proteins in milk and cheese stimulate the proteins that are in your muscles and help you become less sore. So if you're active, nutritionists recommend 2 ounces of cheese or a half a cup of cottage cheese as part of your bedtime snack routine.
Isn't it funny that I think of cottage cheese that way in kind of the health food category, but you know, not some of the things like, you know, a deep fried cheese curd, for example, you know, does not to me have the same value. And yet there's so many different ways to enjoy cheese, and to varying degrees, I would assume the health benefits that go with it.
Well, and one thing, I mean, the bottom line for nutritionists is that basically you want your food to have as few added extra ingredients as possible. So the great part about Wisconsin cheese is that because it's so fresh, it literally could be made in our own backyard.
Oh, yes.
It really has few ingredients, if any, added to it. And it's about as healthy as it can get, unless you deep fry it.
Yes. Or do have it with several other things that aren't quite so healthy. Now, interestingly enough, a lot of people still don't know that as popular as Wisconsin is for all of the cheese that leaves the state and goes out into the world, we have more cranberries going out than any place else. It used to be we were in this year-by-year competition with Massachusetts, and I don't know what happened, but at some point we pulled ahead and never looked back, and we celebrate that in certain communities, including one this weekend.
Yes, Warrens, Wisconsin, the world's largest cranberry fest, is celebrating its 50th year this year. And why it's just such a big deal? Well, first of all, like you mentioned, cranberries are a major export here in Wisconsin. We might be best known for our cheese, but in terms of the whole world, we produce a much larger share than any other even country of cranberries every year. And the town that churns out the most is tiny, population 363, Warrens, Wisconsin, in Monroe County. And this weekend, they're going to be anticipating more than 140,000 visitors, again, to their tiny town, population 363. That is absolutely incredible. And if you've never been to this festival, they serve any and everything cranberry. You can find cranberry cream puffs, deep fried cranberries on a stick, pancakes with cranberry syrup, cranberry kettle corn, cranberry bubble tea, cranberry jubilee, cranberry coffee. Would you like me to continue? I can. Cranberry apples and ears.
I get the idea. And here's the other interesting thing. They've been at this for a while. They know what they're doing. We know a lot of traffic goes there, and there will be lines on the interstate, you know, for the off ramps. But this is nothing like Burning Man. You know, we're not going to get a whole thousands of people stuck in Warrens, you know, the way they were at these poorly planned music festivals. This is a festival that, yes, is going to draw a crowd, but you're going to like what you see. And I would recommend getting there early, but you know what? A lot of people get there early. So just brace yourself for a crowd either way, but you can still enjoy it.
And something that's great about it is because it's up in just the center of the state, it's a very doable day trip for most of Wisconsin. So if you're plan too late, don't already have a hotel room booked. Most of them are booked, you know, 1 hour in every direction from the festival. It's still a very doable day trip. And then one more component I just want to shout out is that it's a major fundraiser. Over the past 50 years, the festival has raised more than $2 million, and they give that money to local schools. They use it for student scholarships, and they help fund their fire department, which is an entirely volunteer department.
Gina, I know that Selena Heller will be going there because she's from that neck of the woods, and we talked yesterday a bit about that. And one of her first stories for us was about, remember the Combine Demolition Derby? And how how could you forget? And that turns out to be the big fundraiser for the Jackson County Fair. So when you mention what a fundraising opportunity this is, I mean, obviously there's a role for taxes and there's a role for philanthropy and investments. But if you can come up with something, whether it's a Combine Demolition Derby or a Cranberry Festival or what have you, you can really give your local economy a very welcomed and, in this case, delicious jolt.
And when you have a town of 363, you can't only rely on your own community because...
That's so true. All right. We're also at that time of year where they're not just harvesting cranberries, but corn as well. You had the sweet corn before, and now you've got, your field corn. And but before that happens, not every field is, harvested and plowed or turned into snow fences. You got your mazes, and you'll find more than one or two, some wonderfully simple for the wee ones, and some rather complex. What do you want to tell us about those?
Well, first, Pat, I wanted to ask you, do you remember the first time you ever went through a corn maze?
Yes, because up here in Chippewa County, I'm pretty sure it was Klinger Farms, and we brought Mason, our oldest grandson, our first grandson, who was probably, 4 years old at the time. And when you see it through the eyes of a four-year-old, you realize just how daunting it appears to a child. And so that's it made for a lot of fun. And then there's always something else to do at these things by and large. And I think it was just one of the best days a kid could have.
But it wasn't that long ago, correct? Right. Less than 10 years. Cause I just kind of always thought that corn mazes were just went along with pumpkins and fall, but they're kind of a newer thing. 2023 only marks 30 years since the first official corn maze was carved into a field in Annville, Pennsylvania. But in the three decades since, they've really boomed in popularity, and Wisconsin has a long list of them. You can find a full list of our top recommended mazes up on our website, upnorthnewswi.com. But I did want to shout out two of the best and the biggest. So in Lodi, Trinan Farm has made USA Today's best corn maze list for like the past 8 or 9 years now. And it offers not one, but two mazes. The big one is cut into the cornfield by hand using no GPS, which is really rare now. Yeah. And it takes anywhere from 45 minutes to 2 hours to navigate. And then if you want an even bigger challenge, you can tackle the circle maze, which if you thought a regular corn maze was a little discombobulating, you haven't been to that one yet. And one other one I wanted to shout out was in Poinette, Wisconsin, the Creek Bed Pharmacy. That has also made a lot of national lists representing Wisconsin, and it holds the title of Wisconsin's official largest corn maze. Spans 18 acres, has 6 miles of paths, and it has multiple different mazes. So don't feel like you're definitely going to be walking 6 miles. There are shorter routes, but you really can make an entire day of it. And the great thing about pumpkin farms and these corn mazes in general is that the admission price is not very expensive. At the most, it's $15, but a lot of times it's significantly less than that. And that money is going directly to the farmer that you're handing that money to. So you can feel good about your purchase.
And better to get lost in a maze than in a cornfield. Did I tell you the story yet about losing triplets in a cornfield?
No, do we have time for this?
Yes, we do. This was shortly after we moved to Chippewa Falls, and everybody knows Lake Wissota is on one side of my house. There's a cornfield on the other side of the house. And this was way back when some neighbors of ours who had triplets, the triplets were about 3 years old at the time, maybe four. And it was a beautiful fall evening, and all of us adults were out just talking, and we could see our daughters running around. And we looked around and realized the triplets were missing. And we could hear like little giggles or voices in the cornfield, but they got the idea to play hide and seek. And it was starting to get dark out, and we were really starting to get worried. It took 10 to 15 minutes to finally wrangle all of them, because it's not a small cornfield out here. And it was moderately terrifying for a couple of minutes here.
Yeah. I'm sorry. I'm discombobulated from that story. I can't think of anything worse. You can feel the fear now on both mm-hmm. sides, both being a parent and a kid, when you lose someone just in a grocery store. So losing them in a cornfield seems unimaginable.
It does. And
I'm glad you found them.
Yes. I mean, you know, it's finite. So you theoretically could get around the perimeter, but it's just that you would expect to find the kids really fast, but they were just kind of ambling along, you know, and there's just enough of a little slope to it that, yeah, it made for quite an adventure. Folks, stick to the maze, no matter. I know it might be tempting sometimes to tell your kid to just get lost in a cornfield, but no, do the corn maze instead. Read about the mazes and much more in our newsletter. Sign up for it at upnorthnewswi.com. Christina, thank you.
Thank you, Pat.
And hey, while you're going over to the webpage to sign up for the newsletter, you can also click on store, and you'll find there some t-shirts and some tote bags to keep you connected to Up North News. Some are quite distinctly Wisconsin. Some are quite distinctly Trumpian, because you can get a lot of mileage out of that mugshot. And you can find out the mugshot merchandise as well over at upnorthnewswi.com. Well, I've got a sec here, and it won't take much time. The latest on former President Donald Trump. Wait, which of the four legal cases are we going to talk about? Well, this one's about the Mar-a-Lago documents case. It's a new report. ABC News first reported it late yesterday, that one of Trump's longtime assistants told federal investigators that Trump repeatedly made up to-do lists for her, and he scribbled them down on the back of a card, of a note card. But the note cards, the flip side of them, the original side, were marked classified. There was information on those cards that was used to brief Trump back when he was president. This is classified information he should not have taken with him, but he did, along with many, many boxes of nuclear secrets, defense secrets, things like that. And he was just using classified documents as scrap paper. And the aide, Molly Michael, told investigators that this happened, you know, multiple times, and that at one point, after there had been a search for these classified documents, she came back to her desk and found these cards that they'd missed. They were under a desk organizer in one of her drawers. So it's just the latest wrinkle in a case that, for all of the talk about trying to overturn an election, and of course that to me seems the most serious one, but it's also the one that could get the most caught up in partisan politics. But most people agree you should not take nuclear secrets with you wherever you are, especially if you're not president anymore. And you should not use classified documents as scrap paper to make up to-do lists. Just a crazy wild thought in a case that quite likely will be the one that gets Trump in the most trouble eventually. Let's take a break here. We'll have today's history lesson and music break right after this. You're up north.
Medicare open enrollment starts October 15th. Countless mailers and TV commercials will tell you you're missing out on some benefits. But don't be tricked into an Advantage plan you don't need or that doesn't cover your current medication. Wisconsin Senior Medicare Patrol can help you prevent, detect, and report Medicare fraud. Visit Wisconsin Senior Medicare Patrol online at smpwi.org.
When you're high, you feel different. You think different, you talk different, you draw different, you listen to music different, but you probably knew that. Problem is, you also drive different, and not in a good way. That's why driving high is illegal everywhere. So if you're high, just don't drive. Make a plan to get a sober ride. Because if you feel different, you drive different. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Don't let biased algorithms, or degree screens, or exclusive professional networks, or stereotypes. Don't let anything keep you from discovering the half of the workforce who are stars. Workers skill through alternative routes rather than a bachelor's degree. It's time to tear the paper ceiling and see the stars beyond it. Find out how you can make stars part of your talent strategy at tearthepaperceiling.org. Brought to you by Opportunity at Work and the Ad Council.
Here's your updated forecast. High of 76 today. Under cloudy skies, southeasterly winds, 8 to 15 miles per hour. Lows dip down to about 56. Tonight, partly cloudy. Daytime highs approaching 83. Tomorrow, a mix of clouds and sun. Upper 70s Thursday with a chance for scattered storms. Turning cooler Friday with highs in the upper 70s. Storms continue. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley on Lake Air WLAK, 1260 AM. Right now, 55.
This summer, Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK has a new starting lineup. 4 to 6, The Devil's Advocates with Tom Ankrut. Then at 6, The Maggie Dawn Show. WLAK.
We're going to get mellow for a little while here with Brooke Benton.
Hoovering by my suitcase, trying to find a warm place to spend the night.
Now, I will admit, I only knew Brooke Benton from this hit, A Rainy Night in Georgia. It turns out what I've learned in prepping notes for today's show that the singer-songwriter had several early R&B hits in the late 50s and early 60s. In fact, he put some 50 songs on the Billboard charts, and that this song, Rainy Night in Georgia, was actually his comeback hit back in 1970. And there's also a great remake with a little tribute to him that was done by Sam Cooke and Conway Twitty on an album called Rhythm and Country and Blues that I highly recommend as well. Let's see. On this day in 1796, George Washington's farewell address was printed across America as an open letter to the public, warning Americans not to embrace the coming trend in politics, the two-party system. America failed to listen to President George Washington in that instance. Sam, do you know whose birthday it is today?
Who else?
I mean, there's a lot of birthdays, but one that is specific to technology.
Off the top of my head, no. I'm scanning the notes really quick to see if I can read it. But
See, then you'd find out that this is the day, the first documented day that emoticons were first used, where somebody used a colon, a hyphen, and a parenthesis to make a smiley face or a frowny face used on the Carnegie Mellon University bulletin board system. So it was the first internet-related documented use of the emoticon. And now they're everywhere. I don't know about the conversations on the civic media chat boards, but we use a Slack system at Courier Newsroom, Up North News, and I mean, there are dozens upon dozens upon dozens of emoticons. You can custom make some, you know, so like you can have like a little dancing Green Bay Packer helmet or whatever the case may be. You've never known life without them, have you?
I mean, I guess not. I don't know. I remember.
Look, we could all live without them. But
I remember like flip phones before when you had to like hit a key three times to get any particular letter, so you probably didn't use them a lot then.
No, you really wanted to get the message across if you were willing to go through that much trouble. But yeah, this day in 1982 was the first time that those were used. As we mentioned earlier, the Chicks, then the Dixie Chicks, became the first ever country group to top the Billboard Albums chart with Fly. It debuted number one this day in 1999 with hits like this one, Sin Wagon.
We'll be right back.
should be on your treadmill list if it's not already. We'll probably play a couple more Chick songs off fly before the morning is over. On this day in 1985, Tipper Gore and other political wives formed the Parents Music Resource Center. They were there as Frank Zappa, John Denver, and other musicians testified at congressional hearings about obscenity in rock music and whether it's obscene and not suitable for children or whether it's artistic expression. Bill Medley of the Righteous Brothers, 83 years old today. Nile Rodgers, another Rock and Roll Hall of Famer. He is 71 today. Freda Payne, you'd really have to know classic rock to remember that she was the one who sang Band of Gold, and she is 81 years old today. And I would urge you to Google up the story about the lyrics behind Band of Gold, because it's been interpreted two different ways, and the songwriters finally set the record straight on, you know, what exactly was the meaning of the song Band of Gold. But the music clip we want to play is from the number one hit this day in 1970. It was the first ever by Diana Ross after leaving the Supremes.
They used to touch your soul tenderly. Just remember what I told you the day I set you free.
So that would be Ain't No Mountain High Enough this day in 1970, Diana Ross's first solo number one hit. Trisha Yearwood is 59 years old today. Presidential candidate and South Carolina Senator Tim Scott is 58 today. Tonight Show host Jimmy Fallon is 49. And it was on this day in 1987 that the Grateful Dead had their only hit pop song, Touch of Grey, hitting number 10 this day in 1987. Now I'm looking over at the notes and seeing that Roger has sent a note in where he looked up a little bit more about Brooke Benton and notes that according to Billboard, Brooke Benton is one of only three artists to have top five singles in each of the 50s, the 60s, and the 70s. The other two, one would be easy to guess, that would be Elvis Presley. The other would be Paul Anka, which when you think about it, yeah, that does make sense, but it's not nearly as obvious. So thank you, Roger, for that. We appreciate just a little bit more trivia for our history lesson and music break on this Tuesday. Back to news now. Congressman Mark Pocan released a statement late yesterday. He finally got to review the security footage of when Derek Van Orden accosted and verbally harassed teenage Senate pages as they were enjoying the Capitol Rotunda this past summer. Pocan's statement goes like this. He says, "The video is bad and unbecoming a member of Congress. There is no way to prove Derek was drunk, but this is not behavior a sober or sane person would do. He looked unbalanced. He had belligerent hand gestures when he was threatening these teenagers. He towered over many of them and then followed them when they got up to leave. This was abusive behavior intended to frighten these pages. It's odd enough to have a raging party in your office until midnight, but even more concerning is taking a large group of people to tour the Capitol at midnight and pushing others around to show off, and then taking a bow to his guests afterwards. Representative Van Orden's behavior does not reflect Wisconsin values, and he owes each of the pages and his constituents an apology." Now, I'm not sure why it took so long for Congressman Pocan to finally be able to see the tape, what took either Capitol Security or Congressman Brian Stiles, who chairs the House Administration Committee. But whatever the case, Congressman Pocan finally got to report on what the footage shows. We won't see it, however, because the Pocan statement ends that there are privacy and safety concerns of these young Senate pages and their families about releasing the video for fear of retribution from MAGA activists. And due to these concerns, the video will not be released. And I believe every word of that. And that is just a crying shame that we are deprived of the ability to see a congressman completely debasing himself with behavior that may have been alcohol induced. But for fear of what Trumpers might do to some of these teens, that video will stay hidden. Much more in our second hour ahead on Up North News Radio on this Tuesday. We'll be back.
When it comes to making plans, you are the best. What about those round trips that you plan in advance, which are perfect on your way there and perfect on your way back? Or those meetings with friends for which you make a group chat 3 months before so that nobody or anything is missing? Or your daughter's first birthday party? You planned it with such dedication that instead of the first, it felt like our quinces. The same way you plan each detail for those moments. Start planning to protect you and your loved ones from a natural disaster. Sign up for local weather and emergency alerts. Prepare an emergency kit and make a family communications plan. Protecting your family is the best plan you can make. Get started at ready.gov/plan.
Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
You're listening to WLAK 1260 AM Amory and WBZH 910 AM W245 CT Hayward. Always streaming on ABC the Civic
News,
Media
I'm
app.
Justin